structure of Shmoneh Esrei, one part of Shmoneh Esrei, and the structure of the tefillah as a whole. Because the truth of the matter is that according to the Torah, they are interrelated. Chazal tell us that what's the basis for that we have Psukah Dezimra before the tefillah. Right? Broadly, let's leave out the Birchas HaShachar. That's, we happen to put it at the beginning of Shachris, but tefillah Shachris broadly has three parts. Everything else is secondary. There may be a reason for it, but the essence of Shachris is really three things. We have Psukah Dezimra, we have the Birchas Kriya Shma, and we have Shmoneh Esrei. That's the essence of Shachris. Right? Then there are a lot of things we append at the beginning, at the end, whatever, but that's the essence of the tefillah, those three parts. Now, the Torah writes, when it comes to Psukah Dezimra, recites the Chazal, La'olam yisaper adam shvocho v'achatach yispala. Before we come to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for something, we should first sing his praises, acknowledge who the Rabbeinu Shalom is. So that's what we do in Psukah Dezimra. Psukah Dezimra principally is focused on the role of God in nature and how God controls and directs the natural world. That's Psukah Dezimra. We have Kriya Shema, of course, which is one of the high points of the tefillah, the Kabbalah Salmachu Shamayim. And when we come to the Shmoneh Esrei also follows the same Seder, V'lo'olam Yisaper Odom Shvocho V'achakach Yispalo. That first it begins, the first three brachos of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatness of Hashem. Then we have the middle section of Bakosha. And finally we end with Haidot, is the latter part of Shmoneh Esrei. The structure of the Shmoneh Esrei itself, now the Rambam indicates that the structure is deraisa. That may even be true, as despite the fact that there is a well-known machloikus between the Rambam and the Ramban. If tefillah, each and every day is deraisa, according to the Rambam, the La'odah v'cholavavacham is a mitzvah deraisa. According to the Ramban, it's an asmachta, it's only a din derabbanan. But that is not to say that according to the Ramban, there's no din of tefillah deraisa. The Ramban tells us that beis tzara, at a time of difficulty, there's a mitzvah deraisa doing his power. So everyone agrees that tefillah exists when a Torah. The question is, what is the venue for tefillah? What is the appropriate time for tefillah when a Torah? But the notion that there are times when one is obligated to be mispala min haTorah is universal. That's not debated between the Rambam and the Ramban. Now, it could be for that reason that the structure of the tefillah, which is the deraisa dikarut, is derived by the Sifri, it could be that the Ramban equally agrees with the Midrashim that that's the structure. His debate with the Ramban may only be when or is one mechuyav of tefillah deraisah. But the structure of a tefillah, if I'm going to be mispalel, or if I elect to daven, there's a structure of how I'm supposed to daven, and the Torah in fact dictated such a structure. Now, the Rambam lists these three parts of Shmoneh Esrei, the Shevach, the Bakosha, and the Haidah. In the case of Mishnah writes, the first part, at first, that we have the first three brachos of praise of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, followed by Bakosha. This we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Sifri. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Parashas Veschanan, states, Hashem Elokim, Ato Achi Lo Yisrael Haaretz, Es Avducha, Es Godducha, Es Yaducha, Chaz Alka, Hashem Yikeil Vashamayim Haaretz, Asher Yaseh, Hamaseh, Vechibur Asah. Who is as great as the Rabbeinu Shalom? That's, in effect, what he's saying. And if you've only begun to show your greatness, and with that I can declare, and this is merely the tip of the iceberg, then Moshe Rabbeinu gets down to what this tefillah is about. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I want to enter Eretz Yisrael. So what does he do before he enters the Bakosha? First he sings the praises of HaKadosh Baruch. So the Sifri derives from this that we have to have praise before the Bakosha. The Kesef Mishnah says, though he is mystified what the source of the Rambam is, that we need Haidah afterwards. And in actuality, it's also a Sifri. And it's a Sifri in Parshas B'zayis HaBrocha. Besides a bracha, when we talk of the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, in reality, those are that's the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, the chiruvein, v'alto yodem, Moshe, etc. All of this was Moshe Rabbeinu's vision of what he wanted to take place in the future of Klal Yisrael. So, in effect, this was a tefillah before the Rabbeinu Shalom. So, how does this tefillah begin? Hashem is Sinai Bor Vazorach Masei Lomo Afiyam Mehar Paran Rosh Hashem Nerdiv Vos Kodesh Mimino Eish Tos Lomo Av Choy Vev Amim Kol Kodesh Av Yadecha Toyer Otzi Volono Moshe Am Rosh. Sing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch. Then he gets down to brass tacks what he wants for each Shevet. At the end of the parasha, we find all the Ashrecha Yisrael Mikomoch. Fortunate are we, the Jewish people. Why? Because I'm no Yishab Hashem. We can depend on the Rabbeinu Shalom. Right? Morgan Ezrecha, Hashem. He is the shield of our salvation. So we're thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for what he's done. There's the Haidah. And the Sefri says this is the source that after the Bakosha, it has to be Haidah, comes from these Psukkim. It's actually in the Sefri. So that is the structure of the Shmona Esrei itself. Begins with Shevach, three brachos of Shevach, Bakosha, and then Moedim is the Haidah. Talk some other time about why the rest of Shmona Esrei is where it's at, what the Ritzei is, and what Sim Shalom is. But the Raisadika part is the Haidah that has to come at the end. Yeah. Leading up to the Shmona Esrei, so we have the Kriya Shma, the Kabbalah Zalma of Shammai. Now, that certainly before we are mispalot to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we need to recognize, right, the Shai Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Malchias. Like that pasuk is in Malchias in Rosh Hashanah. It's the 10th pasuk of the Malchias. So before we come to be mispalot before the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have to acknowledge the Malchias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But let's examine the structure of the Birchas Kriya Shema and the relationship of Kriya Shema to Shmona Esrei. The Rambam writes that how should a person strengthen his emunah on Hashem? The world says, how can emunah be a mitzvah? Either you believe or you don't believe. How can you command me to believe? But the Rambam counts emunah as a mitzvah. So, what's the mitzvah? So, the mitzvah obviously is to stay away from those things which lead us away from Amunah, that are the Yetiv Lev rites. And it's also obviously to focus on those things which strengthen our Amunah. That's the mitzvah symbol. Now, in the Rambam rites, once in the Yad and once in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he writes two different methods of how a person should strengthen himself in Amunah. One is, in the Yari writes, is by examining Masa Bereishis. Examine the profundity of the Bria, how profound the Bria is, how exact and demanding the order of nature is. A human liver, for the human body, it's relatively large. It's 8 pounds or so. So it's the largest organ in the human body. If we wish to replicate all its functions, we could take Kew Garden Hills down and fill it up with chemical factories and we still wouldn't get there. And it's all packed into this little 8 pound mess, which constantly renews itself as long as a person lives. It's awesome. The world needs sunlight, for light, for heat, and we're stationed in a very small zone, close enough to the sun to be warm and not too close to get toasted. Right? There are planets in the space, in the heavenly bodies, some which are frozen, they're too far from the sun. Others, we turn to a crisp in no time. We need a toaster. We'd be toasted. We're in that small range where we have enough heat and not too much. And nature, if we study nature, nature is so complex. I'll give you one moshel, but this is completely, it's thousands of times over. Thousands of times. There is a bee, I believe, in the forest in Peru.
What?
In the forest in Peru. A bee.
Oh, bee, yeah.
Now, what is its cycle of reproduction? It lays its larvae on the underside of the stomach of a spider in such a place that the spider cannot reach it to brush it off. Yeah, number one. Number two, within, I forget if it's the larvae or the mother bee itself, they stings the spider. Now the spider normally makes cobwebs like every other spider in the world. After it's stung, it subverts the software in its brain and it starts to make a new type of web, totally different. And they've discovered if they take the stinger out with the chemical, it will recover and go back to making the normal one. Now why does it make this new type of web? Because when the larvae hatches, it would normally fall to the floor of the forest and its predators would destroy it. But because the spider makes a new type of web, so the larvae fall into the net and stay up above the floor of the jungle until they get large enough to survive. And this is all, as I said, documented. The two types of the spider webs, how exactly did they look? And this was an article about a few years ago in the science section of the New York Times. Can you imagine how complex the bria is? The Rabbeinu Shalom made that this bee has a chemical that it can inject into this particular spider, which exactly causes it to stop making the web that it normally does, and makes a new type of web which serves its interest, and ultimately in the process of all of this, the bee finishes the spider off.
What does the spider get out of the deal?
Nothing.
Symbiotic relationship.
Nothing.
Okay, just wondering.
And yet, right, this where, when we look at this level of complexity in the bria, this is supposed to have happened on its own. This is a world that this is, you know, this evolved to happen by accident. If we try to produce this effect, I don't think all the scientists in the world would be able to figure out what chemical to inject and what dosage to make it to change its brain to operate with a different type of web. And this is just one small detail of the world around us, replicated millions of times over in the biological process and chemical processes of the world. So the Rambam tells us, if we examine the world of nature, it's a tremendous chizuk and amunah. This was the path of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu examined the world, and Avraham Avinu said it's absurd to say that this world came into existence on its own. There's nothing that has order in this world that exists on its own. Chaos exists on its own. Order does not exist on its own. So we came to the conclusion there's a balabira. Someone up there that's pulling the strings. As much as they don't want to, they're inevitably drawn closer to that in the world. Right? They can't acknowledge the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's a secular person that can't do such a thing. But so now what do they have? They have directed evolution now. Well, what's directed? We don't know, but it's directed. It didn't happen on its own. Yeah, something is directing it. You know, whatever.
Balabira.
They don't want to call it the Balabira. They are afraid of its implications. But they are acknowledging more and more that evolution is not a random process. So we see the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Bria. That's one aspect. The Rambam tells us another way that we see the Bria. And that is in the depth and the profundity of Torah. The chokhmah that exists within Torah is so profound that if we contemplate it and examine it, we'll realize that the mortal human one did not create this. Much too profound. Much too broad and much too profound. And through Torah, we also come to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Rabbi Isai, those are the first two brachas in Kriya Shema today. We have the first bracha, Yitzroro v'Rechayshach, Hashem v'Goro Ma'ari v'Rov, both the content is the same. Ha'mechadish b'chol yom tomid ma'asav reishis. Who is the one that's behind the goings-on in the world? Who is the one? The Rabbeinu Shalom. He's the Mechadish B'chol Yom Tom Bid Masa Rishis. So that's one acknowledgement of the Rabbeinu Shalom. B'yir Ekidoshim, Shtav Achshim Mechalavan Mekeinu, Yoyitzer Meshorsim. It's the B'yir. Avarabba. Let's go to the Rambam, because the Rambam is most striking. The Rambam writes the following. We're used to the fact we get up in the morning and we recite the Birchas HaTorah. And then we come to Shul and we start the Davening. The Rambam has a different version of this, and we'll come back to what this is dependent on in a moment. But the Rambam writes the following. It says, if I arise early in the morning and I wish to learn before Davening, learn Torah before Davening, then I have to recite the Birchas HaTorah. But if I'm not getting up to learn before davening, I have no necessity for the recitation of Birchas HaTorah. Why? Because Avarabba is Birchas HaTorah. I'm Yetzi v'Avarabba. Now that's the halacha. That is true. If a person, for example, was up the whole night and has a suffix, if he can recite the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, so he can be Yetzi v'Avarabba and Avar Seilam at night. Yetzi v'Birchas HaTorah. And as some of the Achronim write, it's not an erzat, it's actual Birchas HaTorah. Full-fledged Birchas HaTorah. The Rambam pushes it to the hilt, that if I'm not going to learn before davening, then let's just dispense with all the Birchas HaTorah. Just use this word, Birchas HaTorah. What's the machloikas? The machloikas is two days that are brought, the Beis Yosef. When we recite the Psukah de Zimra in the morning, is there a necessity of reciting Birchas HaTorah beforehand? So some say, obviously, there's a necessity. So where are these? The Pesukah, part of Tanakh. So it's, if anything needs Birchas HaTorah, certainly the Torah Shebiksav, according to the Gemara, that certainly needs Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara has all types of other views, but Birchas HaTorah, the Torah Shebiksav, no one disputes the fact that that has to have Birchas HaTorah. There's a second view that says, albeit that you are correct, that Birchas HaTorah, that it's Pesukim, and for Pesukim you need Birchas HaTorah. But that's one where the recitation of the Pesuk is for the purpose of Talmud Torah. We're not reciting these Pesukim for Talmud Torah. These are Tachnunim. These are to be part of our beseeching the Rabbeinu Shalom for His compassion. It's to sing the praises of Hashem. So we're not involved in Pesukim the Zimra for Torah. So this view holds that there's no necessity to recite Birchas HaTorah for such Pesukim. And that obviously is the view of the Rambam. That the Rambam's view is that there's no necessity of reciting Birchas HaTorah from Pesukim de Zimra. That's what the Rambam says. If I'm not going to learn before davening, just get up and start davening and I'll be Yetzir Birchas HaTorah v'Avar Rambam.
Did the Rambam say Rabbi Shmuel on there? That's not part of
the tefillah altogether. That's whatever. There's all types I said. Tefillah. These are all types of throw-ins that we have. Davening is, you know, starts with Baruch Shama. That's davening. It's tefillah.
Korbanos.
Well, korbanos
is meant as.
Yeah. Well, only two bots. Most of it is meant for Talmud Torah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We'll come back to that. So, These are the two Birchas Kriya Shema, before Kriya Shema. One sings the praises of Hashem and Ma'aseh Bereishis. One sings the praises of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Nosein Atah. And these are the two perspectives the Rambam writes that we're supposed to use to strengthen our Amunah. So before we come to the declaration of Amunah Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so we have the first bracha about Briyas Olam, and the second bracha about Matan Torah. Then we're first ready for Kriya Shema. Now that I came to some insight into the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and now it can be Mekabel Malchus Shema. There is a very, very interesting debate of Rashi and Tosfos in the first Tosfos in Shas. Rashi said that we yoytze Kriya Shema, they used to daven in those times of the Rishonim. Shuls were country shuls, they were one of the safest places. So the norm was to daven before Tzeisa Kachal. So how was a person yoytze Kriya Shema? So Rashi wrote the Kriya Shema Lamita, recited the first parashas yoytze. The Tosfos has all types of objections to Rashi. One of Tosfos' objections is that we paskan like Rabbi Yochanan, that we need smichas gula l'tefila at night, and according to Rashi, there's no smichas gula l'tefila. Now Tosfos is not dealing with the propriety of saying the brachos or not. Tosfos separately said that one could say the brachos anyhow. This is a separate question. It's not a question. The person recited the brachos, Tosfos said. But according to Rashi, you're not yotzei smichas gula l'tefila. So there are many that ask on this Tosfos, that Achlas David asked this question, and there's a sefer Mili de Brochus, a rov in Omaha, Nebraska, a nephew of Reb Chaim Eiser. He was a rov for 56 years or something in Omaha, Nebraska. And he wrote a number of sforim. The one of them he wrote on Brochus. He also asked this kasha. It's a very obvious kasha that what does Tosfos mean? You're not yotzei smichas gula l'tefila. He said Gal Yisrael. So then, before Shmoneh Esrei, according to Rashi. So what's the problem? What's smichas gula l'tefila? We cite Gal Yisrael. So I wasn't yotzei Kriya Shema yet. Fine, but what does that have to do with not being ma smichas gula l'tefila? What's Tosfos' objection to Rashi? Rashi said, yeah, you get up and daven. What do we do when we daven early marv in the summertime? We say everything. And we just say Kriya Shema again. So we said Gal Yisrael already before Shmoneh Esrei, as we do on any other night, than any other time of the year. So what's the absence of Smichas Gula L'Tefila? The Tosfos are very perplexing Tosfos. Very perplexing. In the early Yoina we find that what is the notion of smichas gula l'tefila? What is it? Right? Rabbi Yochanan made the following: Eizahu ben olam haba. Who is headed for olam haba? Zeh asaymech gula shel arbus l'tefila shel arbus. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "B'nei shesomach gula l'tefila yesh lo schar kol kach sheyem ben olam haba." Halavai would be so easy to get there. You know, the tickets to olam haba are not so cheap. It brings two perushim. When the Rabbi Shel Olam redeemed us and took us out of Mitzrayim, that he took us as his servants. Why? I took them out of Mitzrayim. So he released us from bondage. So now we owe our obedience to him. Talk about the great chesed that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam did. But tefillah is avodah. Tefillah is the service of Hashem. Kedamina, b'avatem as Hashem Elokeichem, zuhi tefillah. We say it's yes, Mitzrayim. So I acknowledge the fact that I'm obligated to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam because he freed me from Mitzrayim. So now I arise to serve him. I acknowledge Malchus Hashem. Hashem is my melech, and therefore I have to serve him. I daven. That's one pshat he brings. A second pshat he brings is that in all of life, when you want something, in any situation in life, the first thing you have to define is not even what you're supposed to get it is. That's the second thing you need to define. The first thing you need to define is who is the person that can deliver it to you. You want something, right? So who has the authority and the power to give it to you? Once you've defined that, then you have to define for yourself, by what method will I persuade that person to give me what I want? But it's not even worth thinking about the method until I've defined the person, because the method may vary from person to person. So the first question in life, if I want something, whatever it is I want, I have to define for myself who is the person, who is the one that's capable of giving it to me. Once I know the answer to that, then I now have to make a plan how I will convince that person to give it to me. But all of life. The same is true if I'm going to ask someone to assist me in this world. So I better make sure that he has the ability. Well, one thing we know, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was the Goyel from Mitzrayim. He doesn't lack ability. The whole world jumps to his whims, if they say so, right? His commands. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is worth davening to. I'm Pateach Vashem. He's a kol yochel. He's powerful. That's another perspective. So is the perspective of Gula L'Tfila that we're his avodim, we're his servants. He's the melech and we're the servants. So we're coming to serve him. Or is it the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is powerful? And therefore, it's worthwhile to be mispalotem. Yeah, and the difference between these two lies the difference between Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos looks at it in the first fashion. That what's the smichas gula l'tfila? Smichas gula l'tfila is the acknowledgement that we're avdei Hashem. We're avdei Hashem because of Gol Yisrael. So Tosfos says that the acceptance of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as melech is part of the smichas gula l'tfila. Mameila, the kriyas shma itself is also part of the smichas gula l'tfila. In other words, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimlech, Le'olam Vod. So that's part of the process. That's exactly the point of the Smichas Gula L'Tfila. Is that realization that He's Malkeinu, right? Ki Onu Avodecha, right? Ata Malkeinu. That relationship, that's Smichas Gula L'Tfila. That's why Tosfos says, if you're not Yaitze Kriyas Shema, you miss part of the Smichas Gula L'Tfila. His view is that the Kriyas Shema is an integral part of the Smichas Gula L'Tfila. Rashi learns Smichas Gula L'Tfila is the fact that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has this tremendous ability, as demonstrated in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad does not necessarily hit exactly that point. Of what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam acknowledged, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is Melech. I can go further, and it's true. I'm beyond Melech, the Melech does, the Melech is powerful, etc. But that's not the Kabbalah's Omach Hashemayim in and of itself. So perhaps that's where the roads depart from each other. According to Rashi, the essence is not only the abstract, but the fact that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Goyel from Mitzrayim, and he has this demonstrated ability in history. From this one is Palotim. It's much more than just Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But Tosfos learns that these two things are intimately connected with each other. So this is the structure then. So we have two brachas before the Kriya Shema. The two focuses of Emunah that we can have. Through Briyas HaOlam, through Torah. Kabbalas Omach Hashemayim, which certainly according to Tosfos is part and parcel of the Smichas Gula L'Tfila, and finally the Smichas Gula L'Tfila itself. But that's the preparation, Shmona Esrei. The preparation. Then we first come to the Tfila. the first three brachos of HaKadosh of the Shmona Esrei, but to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch. And they're from three different standpoints. The Ramchal tells us the brachos. The first bracha is ultimately the midah of Avraham Avinu. The second is the midah of Yitzchak. And the third is the midah of Yaakov Avinu. In the Shmona Esrei, we find the Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now, if Chalila we were Greeks, so we would understand they have a pantheon of deities, and Avraham Avinu had his, and Yitzchak had his, and Yaakov, and we're appealing to all of them. But we just recited Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So that would seem to tell us that it's Elokei is of Avram, of Yitzchok, and of Yaakov, the one and only. So what do we break it down? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. So the Mefarshim tell us that there is one Ribbono Shel Olam, that's true. But how each of us relates to that Ribbono Shel Olam is different. We relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam from different standpoints. And that's why what Chazal mean that each of the Shvatim had its own derech and tefillah, because the nature of each one is different. The relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is different, because their personality, their emotions, their neshama is made differently, and therefore their perspective is different. The Avos, Avraham Avinu was midas chesed. There was his emphasis on avodas Hashem. It doesn't mean that he didn't do all the other things. But where was that midah, his outstanding midah, which was the leitmotiv of everything that he did, was chesed. Yitzchak was driven by Yirat Shamayim. Of course, Avraham was a Yirat Shamayim. But Yitzchak, the essence of everything that it was Yirat Shamayim. That was the cutting edge. Yaakov Avinu is the midah that the Mekubalim call Tiferes. Tiferes is Torah. And what is it? It's the balance between Chesed and Gvura. There is a balance between chesed and gvura. As Rav Nissim Alpert Zatzal said, we find in the Torah constantly the expression "Vasisa imodi chesed ve'emes." First has to come the chesed. Emes is the din, the gvura. That's second. First is the midah of Avraham Avinu. Chesed. Sisi modi chesed ve'emes. Chesed ve'emes. So each of the avos had his thrust and what the central core of his avodas Hashem was. And they were different. Because each one, with their nature, with their makeup, related to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a different way. And that's true b'chol dor v'dor. We can have a Litvish gadol, a Hasidish gadol, a Sfaradish gadol, a Mekubal, all great Ovdei Hashem. But the way in which expressed is very different. Very different. At the end of the day, they're all phenomenal Ovdei Hashem. But how it's packaged and how they go about it, yeah, of course there are defining elements, the mitzvahs and the limud Torah and Yerushalayim, they're all there. But the package is a different package, different mitzvahs. It's Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So, the first bracha is the bracha of Avram Avinu. The second bracha is the bracha of Yitzchak. Gvuras Hashem. Ata Gibor Le'olam Hashem. Gvuras Hashem. All the varied aspects of Gvuras Hashem. Gvuras Hashem comes in many different ways. Gvuras Hashem is the great power that the Rabbanu Shalom demonstrates in the world. Right? Cosmic events, upheavals, tremendous force which is unleashed in the world, which exists in the Bria. All the power of one atom. Endless. And that's just one atom of the Bria. It's an awesome statement of Gvuras Hashem. You realize the power of one atom. How many billions, trillions, who knows, of atoms are there in the universe? And every one of them has such awesome power confined within it. That's an aspect of Gvura. But there's other Gvuras too. Chazal talk about the fact that can we recite Hagibor in the Golos? Ultimately, they concluded that we can. Why? The Gvuras Hashem is expressed in a different fashion. The Gvuras Hashem is expressed in the fact that there are chaytim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soivel the chaytim. Soivel umalam ayin misoivel. It's the antithesis of the Rabbeinu Shalom's Midas Adin. And it's in the after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when all types of evil is perpetrated in the precincts of holiness, the Gvuras Hashem is expressed in a different fashion. Restraint of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's also clear. Soloveitchik Zatzal said that's the meaning. Why do we refer to, Chazal refer to Gvuras Gishamon? Why is Gvura associated with Gishamon? So we cited a source in the Zohar. That talks about the very things which are kosher for people. Chazal say, Mizainoisov Shalodom. The kosher for Kriyas Yamsov. So Vugan Shalodom kosher for Kriyas Yamsov. Why are things, what's kosher before the Rabbeinu Shalom? We cited a Zohar, which discusses it. And we'll focus on one aspect of it. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, when he gives sustenance to the world, he has to sustain the Rishon Tov. It's not only a world of righteous people, it's Rishon Tov. So, what decision does the Rabbeinu Shel Olam make? If we'll take a step back, I believe the term of Dvar makes this point. It says, when we sin, rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam for the moment. Now, you say, I'm a chadish b'chol yom tov mit maaseh reishis. The Ribbono Shel Olam continuously has to renew the life force within us. If he doesn't renew it, it's all over. So at the very moment that I'm rebelling against the Ribbono Shel Olam, what sustains me to is I'm using that which the Ribbono Shel Olam gives me to rebel against him. If he wouldn't sustain me, so I can't do it. So he says, could there be a bigger chutzpah than that? So I took the term of Dvar and I put it into contemporary terms. Imagine a man is quadriplegic, can't move. So, Baruch Hashem, they found a new scientific advance. They have a machine, and when the machine is on, his arms come to life. For whatever reason, the machine will burn out, whatever it is. So the button on the machine has a spring, and goes off, unless you hold it down. So there he's laying lifeless. So he sees you, and he asks you to come next to him and press the button on the machine. So you come, and you lean over him, and you press the button on the machine. And now when the button is pressed, the machine is engaged, so his arms can start to move. So he picks up his hand, and he punches you in the nose. So he says, what type of chutzif is this? I mean, he's a lifeless form without me. He can't move Lorelena with Liz's tiny finger. He can't move without a millimeter. Why does he have the ability to function? Because I came and I responded to his call for a chesed. I pressed the button. I'm holding the button down there. The second I take my finger off the button, he's lifeless again. And what does he do? Punches me in the nose. Could there be a bigger chutzpah than that? He'd run out and tell the guy, ask all you want. Don't ask me to hold the button for you again. Chutz of shame, come on. No shred of decency to him. The Talmud says that's what a chet is before the Ribbono Shel Olam. And yet the Ribbono Shel Olam sustains us. That's Gvura. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's the notion of Gvura's Kishama. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to sustain the wicked in the world too, when he sustains the world. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mizgaber, as it were, Al Midosav. Gvuras Hashem. Other aspects we relate to Chaimeisim Atarablu Shiva. Understand that's great Gvura. It's a wondrous thing. Gvura Hashem has the ability to be Chaimeisim. So Yechnoiflim, Roifei Chaylim. These are all things which are tremendous things in the world. But Gvura is in two regards: the power to do and the restraint not to do. It's also cool. In the second book, so we talk about Chesed Hashem and Gvuras Hashem. As I mentioned to you before, a Rav came to me from Haifa, and he said, the Chilonim in Haifa came to him and he said, Kvod HaRav, your Balei Tshuvas, I'm going to be Machrov Medina Sisrael. He says, just look at the Arab Balei Tshuvas. They make a churban of the whole world. So this is what you're bringing, this fundamentalism. You're the Jewish Balei Tshuvas. I'm going to be Machrov Medina Sisrael. This is what you're bringing here. So I told him what he should tell them very simply. That it depends where the religion starts. If the religion starts with Yir HaShamayim, with Gvura, then look out, it'll be Machro of the world. If the religion starts with Chesed, the founding father is Chesed, and after the Chesed comes the Gvura, that religion is not going to be Machro of the world. You don't have to worry about it. So we start with Chesed. Chesed is the loving embrace of mankind, despite its frailties. Despite its weakness. What was Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu stood against the whole world. And did he ask the Rabbeinu Shalom to condemn the world or to save the world? I mean, it was for Stein. Stein was the antithesis of Avraham Avinu. This was the anti-chesed movement of the world. And instead of when they're sitting back, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, "It's about to destroy Stone. If I was Avraham Avinu, I would have asked only one question. Rabbeinu Shalom, I don't mean to be impertinent, but what took so long?" That's what I would have asked. And what does Avraham Avinu do? He undertakes to speak in a fashion which is almost chotzof before the Rabbeinu Shalom. In business, if a guy did what Avraham Avinu did, you throw him out. You tell him, listen, bug off, you know, enough. And if not, there's the door. And he was speaking to the Rabbeinu Shalom. For whom? For Stein. Chesed is embracing men despite his frailties. Gvura is tolerating. Chesed is to embrace him. So this is where we begin Shmon Esrei. We begin Shmon Esrei Chesed of Avraham Avinu. And then we're seeing the praises of Hashem. We're seeing the praises of Hashem in Gvura. And then finally Kedusha, which we'll come back to. But Kedusha is that balance between Chesed. Between Chesed and Gvura. It's what, that's, as we pointed out, that's one of the conflicts of Din and Emes. Of Din of Chesed and Emes. Are conflicted. Chesed and Din are conflicted.
Meaning the bracha of Chaim Nesi is still Hakachem Chesed.
That means the Rabbeinu Shalom transcends the Gvura, the Din. And it's the nature of Hashem. He's not begrudging. Human beings, I sometimes do things which I don't want to do. But I have reason that I have to do them. But I don't do them with a whole heart. That's what we say at the end of the first bracha also. The gula will come to man shemot. We're not necessarily worthy of that gula. But nevertheless it'll be b'yavah. Wanted tonight to define somewhat the structure of Tehillah. What we're doing each day when we come from Baruch Shama to the end of Shmon Esrei, what exactly is supposed to take place. We'll hold it at this point, Baruch Hashem.